B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, week numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week. Beautiful weekend of hot temperatures with no humidity. Oh, man, it felt like San Diego this weekend. And we had the Philly baseball to keep us amused. Oh, wait, we didn't. All right, let's talk about that right out of the chute. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So, technically, the season is over. And I will say that with certainty, that there's no way this team is good enough to battle back and get into a playoff race. So we've learned enough in the last week where we can say to ourselves, it's just not going to happen. So you turn your attention to other matters. All right, now let me outline the case why Gabe Kapler should not be the manager next year of the Phillies. Nothing they do now is going to save the season, all right? So you're going to have to go through the rest of August and go through September. And I do believe that a change needs to be made. Whether a change is going to be made is another question. But here's, let me just lay out a couple of things for you here. Gabe Kapler has not created a climate for winning. That's the one thing I can say. Now, the Phillies might not be a good team. Their pitching staff might be in shambles. But this guy is not even believed by his own players. When a guy... It's like beyond ridiculous to think that his post-game comments are buffering a team to the reality of the situation. Like when he says, oh, we're still in there battling, it's completely ridiculous to treat grown men that way. You know, like if you're a little league coach, that's fine. You want to instill some confidence in little league players, that's fine. But grown men aren't going to be buffered by your continual positive act. That's A. B, either he had... Let's look at the terrible players thing. This is what happened on the road trip. I'm just going to put some numbers out there. The staff ERA was 5.59. 7 games in the road trip. Pitchers allowed 11 home runs during the road trip. The starters had a 5.80 ERA. And failed to pitch beyond the fifth inning in 5 of the losses. The bullpen's ERA was 5.02. The hitting? They hit .243 overall. Only 6 home runs. They gave up 11. And in the 5 losses, they hit .179 and scored just 14 runs. That's a bad team, all right? That's bad talent. Now, whether that talent is further influenced by a manager who is not obviously pushing the right buttons to create a clubhouse climate of winning, you've got a complete meltdown. And the guys that run this team have to take inventory of that. Here's the other part. The fan base has completely bailed on the whole regime. Now, we know that McPhail and Klentak aren't going anywhere. They just got extensions. And the only thing that can happen to mollify a fan base is that they fire a manager and get somebody in and get a whole new coaching staff in, which is the right thing to do at this point. Well, once your fan base has lost faith in your ability to be a manager at any level, you're swimming upstream, and then your fan base is going to fight it all next year. So you've got to cut that right at the root. And here's the evidence of this. The move that was made in last night's game is looked at 100% by the fan base and by producer Tyrone Johnson as the wrong move. Now, is it the wrong move? Not really. It's 51, 50 of the other. And I'll explain that in a second. Here's the deal last night. Because everybody is saying, oh, Kapler is such an incompetent boob that he allowed Pivetta to pitch to Pillar instead of walking Pillar and then pitching to Crawford. If we go back into this game, Alvarez is on the mound. So he makes the change to get Pivetta in the game against the right-hander. Otherwise, the other solution is, you have two solutions, so you bring up Pivetta to pitch to the right-hander, or you leave Alvarez out there. He intentionally walks Pillar because there's a base open, and A-Rod, oh my God, the god of managing, A-Rod, this fan base is so down on Gabe Kapler that A-Rod has become Sparky Anderson, right? If A-Rod says it, it must be true. Okay, so the other solution is you leave Alvarez in there, he walks Pillar intentionally, and he pitches to the left-hander Crawford. Instead, Kapler goes with Pivetta to pitch against the right-hander Pillar. And you're saying, it's an idiotic move. The numbers tell you this. Pillar, although he's a little hotter hitter than Crawford at this point, hits only 245 against right-handed pitchers. Crawford, on the other hand, hits 252 against left-handed pitchers. To say nothing of the fact that Alvarez is not an overpowering lefty, and maybe you make a struggling Crawford a better hitter. So what I'm saying is managing in real time, it's not as easy as managing after the fact, which everybody in this fan base has done, including A-Rod, because they don't like the manager. So when that happens, you got to clip the manager. I don't think what he did was the wrong move or the right move, because you can justify it with numbers that it was the right move. And at the end of the day, that's all managers have to go on. So it's either Alvarez pitching to Crawford or Pivetta pitching to Pillar. Crawford's a better hitter against left-handers than Pillar is against right-handers. So how can we say it was such a horrible move? You can't. But you're saying it's a horrible move because you don't like the manager. And that's why he's got to go. Tyrone, your thoughts.
Well, one, Nicholas, I can't stand. I just want to put on the record one more time that I can't stand Nicholas.
Okay.
And you see what happened when you trust that guy. The manager at some point, I get all the numbers that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with this manager is it seems to me like he has no feel whatsoever for anybody. He doesn't seem to know where to put guys, when to pull guys. I think he doesn't have any feel. And the reason I say it is a lot of the moves he makes like that don't work. Now, is it all because the players stink? Maybe it's because the players stink. But I can't shake the fact that I think some of it's because of him. And for that reason, I'm disgusted with him. But I don't even know if you can let him go, because I don't know if I trust this GM to pick a good manager. I don't want the same manager.
Well, listen, it's clear the Phillies don't play their best baseball under this guy, and that's all I need to know. All right? I'm just pointing out last night's game to make the point that the fan base is so down on his manager that no matter what move he does, it's the wrong move. Technically, it wasn't really the wrong move. And what he should say after the game is, fellas, here's what I got to go on as a manager. I'm the guy at the blackjack table trying to reduce the odds. So the odds looked like they were in my favor and my team's favor by throwing Pivetta against Pillar in that situation. My pitcher didn't get the job done. Instead of his mumbo jumbo about, oh my God, we battled hard and we're going to get off the mat and we're going to do this and that, just tell it like it is. I thought I was making the right move. Here's the numbers. You can plainly see the numbers. It backfired because my pitcher didn't get the job done. Now, the players might even respect him more for saying that. He's not telling a lie. He's not laying out Pivetta. Pivetta knows he didn't get the job done. So instead, you know, the nonsense that he goes through to protect his players like they're 12-year-olds is mind-boggling to me. The man has to go. The fan base and players don't have any faith in him. It's it's a foregone conclusion that they'd be better off without him. Now, we'll see at the end of the year what he does. But last night's situation is an example of everybody. They mistrust the guy so much, automatically he made the right move, the wrong move. But the numbers would say he really didn't make the wrong move. No matter what A-Rod says. I'm sure A-Rod didn't know the numbers. He was just speaking off the top of his head because it backfired. Any three-year-old could look at that game and see Pivetta give up the double to Pilar and say it was the wrong move. You don't have to be a baseball expert after the fact to say it was the wrong move. All right, we'll talk about it. Eagles were feisty at practice today. A little fight in action. Tim McManus will join us. We'll get the lowdown. That's good. That's like the old movie, North Dallas 40, where they start banging each other. And the coach let him go. And Conrad, the owner, go, oh, they're getting hungry now. Mike Missanelli Show, 610-632-0975. We'll also have breaking news on the Sixers NBA schedule. We'll give you the highlights of that. It's not like the football schedule coming out because there's 82 games. But we'll look at it. Mike Missanelli Show right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, folks. 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Natalie Eganoff playing with a wounded paw.
I am wounded.
The paw.
The paw's out of commission.
You stepped on glass?
Yes.
What? Oh, well, tell the story after I tell the people that your Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower, zero turn, or walk behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an injury placement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details.
Over 100 votes on this one early, Mike. Will the city ever trust Gabe Kapler again? 11% say yes. 89% say no.
11% say yes?
Yes.
That's shocking to me. That's shockingly high coming off of that game when I thought it would be 99%. So Nat tells you, yeah, you have your foot wrapped in gauze today.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And
so
your foot's in, it's funny because it's still in a heel. But you have gauze wrapped around.
Well,
it.
No, I have sandals on.
Oh, you do have sandals on?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was
those flats.
Yeah, they're flats.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't
look
see
like
flat.
A wedge heel to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a wedge heel.
No,
too.
Well, because I can't put any pressure down, so that's why it looked like my foot was up.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so I can't put any pressure on it. No, so I was having breakfast with my cousins yesterday.
It was a little sleepover?
No, her sister slept over and then I drove over to their house. We were going to watch movies and then go to dinner later in the day. And we were watching Annie.
So you were going to watch movies all day in that beautiful day?
Well, no, then we were going to go out. This was in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So then we were watching Annie.
You're watching Annie Sunday morning?
Yes.
Okay.
And I got up to do like a funny dance. Mm-hmm. And this glass like knocked over. Mm-hmm. And I think I panicked and I went to go, like I stepped on it.
What was in the glass?
Nothing.
It was just a glass?
Yeah.
What had been in it?
Orange juice.
Okay. I'm just asking questions.
Why?
So the glass breaks. Well, I thought you guys were having a little white wine, you know.
No, it was. This was like 1 o'clock.
No mimosa or anything?
No, yeah. This was like 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the glass falls, breaks. You, at the same time, are taking a step in the path of where the glass breaks.
Yes.
And you got stitches.
Yeah, I have 8 stitches in my foot.
Are you going to be okay for FanFest?
I'll be fine by then.
You'll be hopping around?
Yeah.
She's been in a boot at FanFest before.
She has?
I like that you guys think this is funny.
She's been in a boot at FanFest before.
Bottom of your foot cut? That's not funny at all.
No, it's awful. It was
problematic.
It was like a freak accident. It was just so weird, and I didn't even know that it was cut.
Do you have to not wash your feet now?
No, I can wash it today.
There you go.
Yeah. It's awful.
What paw is it?
It's my right paw.
Right hoof?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd say you be a right dirty right hoof girl. Anthony likes the dirty feet.
Oh, he's a big dirty feet guy.
Oh, yeah, man. All right. Before we get to the phones here, we have one open line. So 610-620-975. Let's just take another scenario where if Gabe Kapler after the game says, we thought we had the right matchup, my pitcher just didn't get it done. Now, the perception that he never wants is that he's throwing a player under the bus. That's a semi-throw player under the bus. He's really stating a fact. His pitcher didn't get it done, and his pitcher can think he got it done. So he's really not offending anybody if he says that. But if he is, that pitcher, is it bad for that pitcher to think, that son of a gun threw me under the bus? Well, I'll show him next time. Is that bad? It's almost like motivation. This guy hasn't figured out that sometimes saying the facts can motivate a player in your clubhouse. That's where he falls.
And he stayed in the city in the offseason, and I thought that was admirable at the time because he might get to know us. It seems like it hasn't really worked. He still doesn't know how to communicate, it seems like, with them or us for whatever reason.
All right. So, and one other thought. I believe it is utterly ridiculous that they don't have a better right-handed hitter on their bench than Sean Rodriguez. And if Kapler is insisting on it, then that's a weakness in the front office for not overruling him. If the front office is okay with it, that tells me they're incompetent. Now, I'm already halfway there with this pitching staff that they believed in and their judgments. If they actually think that Sean Rodriguez is a good player for this team, I have nothing left. All right. I got it off my chest. Let's go to Jim in Westchester to start things off. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Jim?
Well, I don't disagree with anything you said about the Phillies and Kapler, but here's my question for you. And maybe you need to put an all points bulletin out to all your contacts out there, but what is at the end of that chain that Gabe Kapler has attached to his belt loop?
With whom?
Gabe Kapler. You ever see he has
a chain?
It's a chain that he has to his belt loop, and he has it, and it goes into his back pocket. Have you not seen that?
No, I don't know what that is. It might be a notepad or something.
Oh,
yeah, okay. That's the least of my worries, seeing the chain. Yeah. I've already got enough to worry about. People call it in the midday show, talking about his sunglasses. I mean, he could wear clown face. And if he's a good manager, I couldn't care less. All right, Jim. It seems like Jim just wanted to talk about the chain. Have you noticed the chain he's got?
No.
I don't know. Maybe it's a notepad.
Yeah, you got to have something to write, and you don't want to pick it up. You don't want to lose it.
I've never noticed the chain.
Yeah, I don't.
I noticed the pen that he's got here, so maybe the pen goes with whatever is attached to the chain.
Yeah,
because I don't see him with a notepad. A notepad must be connected to a chain.
People are obsessed a bit with his look in general.
Yeah.
How he shaves, how he wears his uniform.
It's not his look that bothers me.
Yeah. Neither. Like, let the guy live when it comes to that. Just manage the game. Well, I don't care what you wear. Care about a chain? Win a game. About a chain.
All right. Let's go to Zeki in Shenandoah is back. What's
hey,
up,
Hey, what's Ze- up, Mike?
What's
How
up,
going?
Zexter?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on with you, bud?
Hey, listen to me. Let's get rid of Surfer Boy. Nothing against his looks or not. Get rid of him because you know what? They need a leader. There's no leader on that team. He's just scared to stand up to anybody. You know what I mean? Sometimes these managers stand up to one of these players. Let them come through.
Yeah, I know what his influence is. His influence is Terry Francona. Terry Francona is a total players manager with good players.
And, and another thing, before the deadline, but they should have got a stopper. A stopper they could put nearest for the seventh or eighth inning.
A closer, you mean?
Yeah, a closer, yeah.
A closer. Yeah, well, there really wasn't a closer available.
Yeah, I know, but that would have been a good help. And another thing about announcing, I was watching that game last night. A-Rod, he's as bad as Ben Davis on the Phillies.
that's not right.
No, but
Ben does a nice job.
But Ben Davis gets goofy forward. I did this, I did that. Announce the game. I'll tell you what. Hey, I have the baseball package. Good announcers. Hey, Darling on the Mets and that Bob Walk on Pittsburgh, it's a pleasure to watch a game.
Uh-huh. All right, Zach.
A-Rod was calling the game yesterday. Every pitch and every strategy, and he was wrong all the time.
Was he wrong all the time? A lot of people like A-Rod as an analyst. I mean, he doesn't bother me as an analyst. They were missing Jessica Mendoza. She was in a car accident. So the broadcast didn't have her to balance him out. But listen, I have people that say, well, A-Rod said the ball. You could take a 12-year-old off the street that could tell you if Pivetta gave up a double at Pilar, it's a bad move, right? There was no insight. Now, did he say that before the at-bat?
No.
He didn't say it before the at-bat. Conveniently, he says it after the at-bat.
Yeah, I got
that's a colossal mistake by Gabe Kapler. Now, if it's before the at-bat, he says, listen, I would have done it this way. I would have walked, blah, 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 blah.
Look, I thought A-Rod did a hell of a job pointing out the same thing I was thinking at that time. And you could be right. It's due to frustration with the team.
First of all, you're frustrated with Kapler. So, and you're like everybody else. This is who I'm talking to out there. You're not going to see you're always going to see the bad because you've dismissed him in your consciousness as a competent manager. So everything he does, and it turns out wrong, you're going to jump on it. And last night it turned out wrong.
And you know what though? I wasn't one of these guys that thought it was appropriate to boo him at the home opener of his first season and all that stuff. I have not been very anti-Gabe. I think something about his comments last week about the one about how they're going to be the best team in baseball or dominant or whatever that was, unbeatable, that finally tipped the scales to where I look at him and I don't trust him anymore.
And you're right to not trust him. I'm not saying you're wrong in not trusting him. I mistrust him for another reason that has very little to do with game-to-game decisions. I mistrust him because they have underachieved as a team. Like, their offense is not, they don't seem to be plugged into the game. And that I can translate to the manager. He's obviously not doing the right things to make these guys, to bring them to their max potential. And I know he can't swing the bat for him. I understand that. But there's something about a baseball team that is together and projects a positive thing. And this Phillies team does not. So the climate that's created is not good. That's why he's got to go. All right, John in Jamison. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I talk to you a lot of times. I've been around a long time. I'm going to the game on Thursday night, which I didn't want to go to, but I'm going. I have a different thing on Kapler. I mean, he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't make the right decisions at the right time. Why wouldn't he have brought in Nellis for that one out in the eighth inning when Bochy brought in his closer to shut the Phillies down? He brought that guy Smith in.
Smith pitched the eighth inning.
Yeah, that's when he broke. In the eighth inning, there were two outs.
Yeah, they don't think Neris is a four-out pitcher.
Well, you know what?
They only think he's
in
a three-out pitcher.
In that situation, he got outsmarted by Bochy because he brought the wrong guy in. And another thing, you were talking about, why is Hoskins in the second slot? This guy doesn't do anything but strike out or pop up. I call him pop up.
Yeah, he's
having a rough time.
He really is.
But he should be down like where.
Well, they're trying to give him. They're trying to give him more at bats to get out of his slump.
Yeah,
you don't want to give a power hitter less at bats.
You still got to send him down. Put Neris. Hernandez. Bring Hernandez up like to the front of the lineup and put him down there. Remember what happened when they put Franco down there in the beginning of the season? He was batting all over the place. Maybe this guy will break out of it in the eighth slot instead of that.
No, I don't think that's a good slot for him because then he would never get any pitches.
I think the front office is doing a horrible job with this team. I don't understand. These people have been around baseball a long time, and Klentak was with San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he wasn't.
He was with the Angels in San Francisco,
no,
right?
No, he was with the Angels and the Orioles.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he knows. That's right. You're right. He should know better than I think pitching is the game. I look at the Dodgers and I see pitching. I look at.
Yeah.
New York,
so what did you want that? What did you want them to do?
No, I mean, he had an option of bringing in what's that guy, Corey Kluber or whatever it was. I don't know what he is now. I heard he got hurt.
They didn't have an option. They don't have any prospects to give up. Now, that's the fault of this front office, that they haven't been able to develop enough talent to make it viable to go out and get a guy who would have been a difference maker. They only have three prospects. One will probably start for them next year. One's in single A. So basically, they had one guy to trade. That was all. And I don't know that would have been enough. All right. The front office has not distinguished itself. The manager has not distinguished himself. The front office can go a long way to distinguish themselves if they realize that it's just not going to work with this particular manager. At the end of the year, they have to come to that conclusion. They can't ignore the fact that their fan base no longer has trust, nor do the players, frankly, have trust in this kind of manager. Justin, Swedesboro, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Justin?
Not much. Flagging right now. I'm out of work in the middle of the road. I just had to get in. I kind of have a disagreement, I think correction, not you per se, but I guess the general...
Justin, you got really a lot of noise in the background. Can you get to a quieter spot?
Yeah, give me one sec.
Okay, all right. Yeah, take your time, bud. We're only doing a radio show. That's all right.
I'm fine.
All right.
Better.
That's a little better.
Is that better?
Yeah. What do you got? A forklift going in the background? Yeah, Justin. I'm sorry. We can't. I mean, I'd love to hear what you had to say, but it was just too much background noise. That forklift sound. I worked in factories, man. Summer times. It's the only jobs I had were factories.
No, I briefly had to do some of that. I hated it.
I worked in it. I told you this before. I worked in an assembly line factory. I worked in a commercial refrigerator factory.
What were you?
Made commercial refrigerators.
What were you responsible for?
I had to fill the insulation in these massive commercial refrigerators.
Oh, wow.
Doors.
Yeah.
Doors.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Hot.
I bet.
All these factories are all hot. No air conditioning in a factory.
Those are the times, Mike.
And then I was a trash compactor in another factory.
What does that do?
I was responsible for the trash compactor. So I would go around with my little wagon that had these barrels on it.
Yeah.
Big waste barrels. It was a stationery factory. We made stationery.
Okay.
And envelopes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was all paper waste. So I would go around and collect the waste and replace it with a clean trash can, and then take that paper waste and dump it in this big hole in the ground, and then push the button. And
it would
compact it. And
yeah.
That was me.
I had the same job, except it was car parts, car waste.
Really?
Because I was working at a car factory, and we had to go into a baler and load in all this stuff, and then they always used to talk about not losing a hand in the baler, because I guess the baler...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because, it's crushing metal.
Yeah.
It clearly crush your bone. He's like, oh, you lose your arm.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'd have hated doing that.
Yeah. I remember the last day of the summer when, you left the job. So the last day we figure out how you got on the factory intercom. Like, you get to the phone, you press a number, and get you on the factory intercom. And so this boss we had was a wretched man. Like, you come back 1 minute late from lunch, and he would dock you and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, no.
His name was Frank. I won't put his last name out there. So I get on the phone. Frank is an a-hole.
You did?
Yes.
Last day, what they going to do to him?
Oh, they didn't know it was me. I was on some random phone somewhere in the factory.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Bill in, I don't know what that is, Strathaven? Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill?
Yeah.
You in Strathaven, Bill?
Schuylkillhaven.
Okay.
Just
says Haven on my board there. It's Schuylkillhaven.
Well, that's where you say Haven. That's
Haven. They say Haven up there?
Yeah.
I wasn't privy to that, Bill.
Yeah.
All right. Schuylkillhaven. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I have a couple problems. Do the Phillies have a batting coach or a hitting coach at all?
Yes, they do.
Well, let me just ask one thing.
He's a very well-respected hitting coach, too, in the league.
Well, then I don't know who he's coaching, because I watch a lot of these Phillies, and they get up. What do they do? I never saw a team popping up or swinging at bad pitches like the Phillies players.
Uh-huh.
And I watch it, and I was just wondering.
Yeah, well, listen, it's all up to the hitter eventually. It's not like, what can a hitting coach do with major league players? He can't tell them how to hit, can he? He can give them suggestions, but he can't go in the box and swing the bat for them.
Well, it looks like they're either uppercutting or they're trying to kill the ball every time they get up there. They hit a homer.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might
they
be
don't it. Play strategic baseball.
Yeah.
Well, when they should bunt.
Yeah, well, they're not a bunting team, Bill.
Yeah, I was watching the one game, what was it, and it was 3-1, and they had two guys on, and instead of the guy, he should have waited for a walk, he swung at a ball, and he struck out.
Yeah, man, that kind of happens with this team. The chief culprit right now is Rhys Hoskins, and he is slow. He is slow. I'm watching him go, his bat is slow. He's not hitting fastballs that he should be tattooing. He's slow bat. Again, these guys are set in their ways. Like last year, Kingery, when he had a slow bat, and when guys get a little ahead, it's late in the season now, right? So you make an adjustment. I always said, if you're slow, the way you speed yourself up is you go down an ounce. You go down an ounce with your bat. And then, you know, you gain better perspective on what your swing is. But if you're slow, your trigger point is slow in your brain, or the bat is getting a little too heavy in August. Robert in Atlantic City. Robert, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robert.
Mike, I have four names for you for new manager.
Go ahead.
Two former Phillies and two outsiders. Mike Nathini and Girardi, and Chase and Ricky Bell.
No, Chase Utley wouldn't be a good manager. He's too aloof. Ricky Bowe, because you like his insight on the post-game show?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good name. I think I'd rather have guys that have experience managing. And the first two you gave me, I think, are good names.
I mean, I think he won, what, three rings with the Cardinals?
Why would you want Chase Utley?
I mean, because he knows the Philly fabric. That's why.
He knows the Philly fabric?
Yeah, but I mean, he knows the Philadelphia fan base, you know, things of that nature.
He might be the worst PR manager in the history of PR. Like, you got to talk to the press afterwards, right? That's part of a manager's job.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't be inspiring at all.
No, I just...
You know, you got to take it into consideration kind of a lot of things for a manager. Now, Ricky Bowe might be, like, too much like Boa. You know, where he tells you like it is, and maybe this regime doesn't want a guy like that who's strong-minded.
No, they want them analytic guys.
Yes.
Which is sad.
Yeah. All right, buddy. There you go. 2 o'clock hour.
Would you, if he had any interest, would you consider Jimmy Rollins?
Yeah.
He's on the team. He's around. He would talk to the media.
Jimmy seems cerebral enough to get it done.
That's what
baseball,
I mean.
In a baseball way.
Yeah. So if he, I have no clue if he'd be interested, but if he was, if he came out and said, I want to be a professional baseball manager, I think I can do it. Would you, at least you'd interview him, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But he, like, be one of those guys like Brian Dawkins would want to be a coach because it's like a come down to your persona. You know, like Jimmy's successful enough to say, I'm going to do what I want at this stage of my life rather than travel with a baseball team 162 games and go through spring training and put in all of those hours. All right, so apparently Gabe's chain is connected to a stopwatch. So I don't know why he would need a stopwatch. He's got 100 coaches that are analyzing every position. Hey, why would the manager need a stopwatch?
And I've never seen him...
Look at a stopwatch?
Yeah, like during the game when they cut to him, I see him at the top of the steps, I see him talking to people. I've never seen him with a stopwatch.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it. Okay. I've never seen him like, oh, look at that, to first base, look at that.
Uh-huh. Maybe it's just in case?
Yeah. Okay, so apparently A-Rod said when it was a 3-1 count that the Phillies needed to be careful. Because they had first base open.
I do remember him saying careful, but he didn't say it flat out
he
like
said
he did
it when
afterwards.
It was 3-1.
The count was 3-1. Nolan Pillar stepped up to the plate. Stop it with this A-Rod. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and ABC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
46, Mike Missanelli Show in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm going to give you a review because I went to see, finally, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, come up in the 3 o'clock hour. So I'm addicted to this TV show now that it's been around for a while, and I haven't been as addicted to it. Like, I've gotten addicted to it. Bar Rescue.
Oh, yeah.
John Taffert, yeah.
I'm addicted to this show now, man. I watch it like it's a soap opera.
I watch it as well.
See, I have too many day hours. These day hours I have, like I flip on in Bar Rescue, and it's a good way to waste an hour.
It is. My only issue with that show is sometimes I put myself in one of those bar owners' mm-hmm. cases where they really need help.
Yeah.
But the guy starts with the some of that volume and some of that language.
Yeah.
I would end up killing John Taffert on camera.
It's all fake and set up.
It better be.
It's not reality.
You're yelling at me like that.
It's not a reality show. They set that whole circumstance up, man.
I feel like he's sometimes the person's like, I really need your help. I'm sorry. And he's still, you're a loser. You got to try.
I watched one this morning in Austin, Texas dive bar. A guy had roaches all over the place and roaches in the liquor bottles. And he's trying to defend it, the owner. Well, that's just for show. How does anybody defend roaches around?
You can't defend roaches in the liquor.
It's all set up. So now you got Taffer yelling at the guy's defending his roach infested place. It's like, that's the setup.
I mean, and then because some of those episodes are old, so what I wait is till the end of the episode, and then I Google the place. And I'm shocked how many of the places they spent all this money to fix it up, and it still went out of business.
Well, but I guarantee that they're putting roaches in the liquor bottle to set the whole thing up.
Yeah, because the roaches can't live in the liquor.
Dead roaches.
No, but I'm saying that's why the roaches wouldn't go in the liquor, because they know they die.
Roaches don't know. What do roaches know?
Roaches don't go in liquor.
Roaches are stupid. All I know is light. They come out in the light. They scurry around for filth.
The roach is the grossest thing.
They are. I don't understand. See, here's one thing I don't understand about God. Two things.
All right.
Roaches and mosquitoes. I don't understand the God part of that.
I think I have
Natalie,
a theory.
Is a Catholic school girl?
Yes.
Can you explain the roach mosquito God thing?
No. Because if it were up to me, there would be neither.
Right. Got a theory on mosquitoes. You know how they carry a lot of bad things? There could be another way at some point down the road where their mosquitoes could possibly carry something that helps us. And that'd be a way for God to save us. Because like they bite you and you get malaria, let's say.
Yeah.
But what happens if 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years from now, you need malaria to counteract some other kind of plague, and then that saves you.
That was the grand plan?
I think God? That was the grand plan. God makes no mistakes with mosquitoes.
I grew up with a little degenerate who used to get a mosquito on his arm and go, watch this. And he would tourniquet his arm.
What?
He would grab his arm. So the blood would rush in the mosquito, and the belly with the mosquito would burst.
What? Ew.
And it would be a splash of blood.
What kind of psychopath is he?
I grew up with a lot of crazy dudes.
That's the craziest story you've ever told.
I'm telling you.
That is so
disgusting.
I grew up with a lot of freaky kids, man.
Bristol was a rough town.
I was going to say. Streets of Bristol, man. Surviving.
Kid used to roam around the town with a BB gun trying to shoot birds off of high wires.
I feel like that's normal.
His name
was Pee-wee.
Of course it was.
Oh, Crazy Pee-wee. Watch out. Here comes Crazy Pee-wee.
Crazy Pee-wee. Let's go to Rick in Collegeville. Rick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey,
Rick.
That's the one.
How the heck do I follow exploding mosquitoes?
I'm telling you, the dude goes, watch this, watch this.
Anyway, a long time listener, first time caller. I remember hearing you with Steve, so I remember the old days, but I've had it with Kapler. You know, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. It was like, you know, thinking outside the box. I kind of like the pick, but, you know, I've had enough. You know,
it's just, yeah, I mean, listen, it's got to the point where if you don't believe that the guy can do the job, then your fan base is always the least little thing that's going to happen is going to create negativity around the franchise. And you got to take that in consideration.
Yeah, I don't see how the team's behind him, really. I mean, those things he says just don't make sense. Oh, we're unbeatable. It's like, what are you looking at?
He said yesterday, after the loss, after this disastrous road trip, I quote, we're going to wake up strong tomorrow. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I know. It's like spouting platitudes, but he doesn't have anything to back
it up. And players, listen, you think players are dopes? Like, they laugh at crap like that, even though they're not holding up their end of the bargain, but their manager's like a con.
Yeah, they got to be shaking their heads all
the
way.
He's not a real person. He's like some fantasy manager. You know, it's weird. It's like players looking at it, they roll their eyes at crap like the curveball machine and his platitudes and all this stuff. They're not stupid people.
No, and his defense, I mean, he has no pitching staff to go to, but he's batting Harper first now and Hoskins second. I mean, it just makes no sense to me at all. I can't stand A-Rod, but I kind of agree with him from the game last night, and I, as much as I hate the Yankees, I would love to see Girardi in here and look at baseball and baseball minds instead of statistical minds.
Yeah, I got you.
And beyond that, I mean, I never thought I would ever say this, but I could see bringing back Ed Wade to replace Plentak. Because if you look back at the...
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was out there.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, that's that many years removed.
When they watch out the playoff team, you know, and
here's what you got. The reality of it is, Middleton gave these guys a contract extension. The front office isn't going anywhere. Where you can change is the manager's seat, and you can get the sacrificial lamb has to, but you have to make some kind of a change. And just zipping a hitting coach or a pitching coach is not going to be enough, which is what I think they're thinking they can do. That's why this thing is on, you can tell where it's sliding, okay? The Phillies are going to finish in fourth place. Now, they have two choices. Either they can justify it by saying, he's our guy, we're going to stand behind him because he was our guy from the jump, and we're not going to break this thing up, and we're going to show patience. Or you look at it and go, well, we got to cut our losses right now. It's time for us to cut our losses, and it didn't work, so we'll bring somebody else in there. While we cement our position in the front office, we can zip this dude. Now, what conclusion will they come to? Because they have this justification platform, because they can say, Gabe wasn't playing with a full deck. Our best laid plans went awry when McCutchen got hurt, when our bullpen imploded with all these injuries, so let's come back one more year with him. Yeah, Herrera, the Herrera thing. So they have the justification platform they can go to. And I don't know where they're going to go. One open line, 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll talk to Corey Simon of NBC Sports Philadelphia for some insights on this baseball team. He's always armed with statistics. We'll get him right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.